Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Praise the Lord for just the opportunity to be in church once again this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, normally on Sunday nights, we've been going through the book of Revelation, teaching in the book of Revelation. But tonight's a little bit different because it was our senior recognition night. And I mentioned this morning I was going to preach a message on help for raising teens. Help for raising teens. And I trust that this will be something that God can help you and as parents or grandparents or soon-to-be parents and getting prepared for it, because teenage life is a very tough age for all. It's hard for the teenagers to be teenagers. They don't quite understand themselves. It's a transition from childhood to becoming an adult. And so they're going through a lot of mixed emotions. At one minute they can be playing with the dolls and the tractor trucks, and the next minute they want to drive a car. And so, I mean, they're just going through, it's a transitioning period. And if you have teenagers in your home, you know, it makes the whole family go through a transitioning period. And it can be very tough. And so the teenage years is a tough time to get through. And yet I believe in the Word of God, we have the help that God would have for us. Now, I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture that might seem a little strange in the beginning, but I trust that you will receive what God has for you by the time this message is over. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you'll stand, we're going to read verse 1 down to verse 12. And this is the qualifications for the two positions that God has given to His church, and that is the position of a pastor and the position of a deacon. And He has given to us the qualifications of these positions here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And so let's read them. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." Serious, that's what gravity means. "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacon be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mysteries of the faith in a pure conscience. Let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave and not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before You tonight, we love You and thank You, Lord, for just another opportunity to be in church. And thank You, Lord God, for being in this place. What a blessing it is to sense Your presence. And Lord, as we look to this special time of the service, when we open up the very words that You have written down and preserved for us. And Lord, I know that You want to speak to us through the Bible and through the preaching of the Word of God. And I pray for each one here that You'd give each one of us that ear to hear exactly what You would have us to hear tonight. And then as we hear it, help us, Lord, to have a heart to make whatever application that we need to make. Work in our midst tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, we find here in 1 Timothy, this is a pastoral epistle, and it's given us the qualifications for the positions in the church. Now, the position of a pastor, position of a deacon, is the two positions that God has ordained for the church. And not that they are any better than anyone else, but they are positions which requires a certain qualifications. If you're going to serve in that position, you have to meet these qualifications. And these qualifications, I believe, is what God would have His perfect will for every man and every woman, every household. We find these qualifications. This is the position of a pastor is a position of an example, first and foremost. The position that God has given to us, of the position of a deacon, is a position of an example first and foremost. This is examples that God is pointing to as far as the positions in His church. And He's given them responsibilities in the church. But more than anything else, they are to be an example to the flock, so that the flock might be able to look to them and follow them as they follow Christ. And so we find here the positions that He has given and the qualifications for them. And I believe that God's plan is for parents to do what His plan is for a pastor or a deacon, and that is to ruleth well his household. In verse 4, the Bible says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." I believe that's God's will for every home. That's how children need to be raised, in that kind of environment, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Down in verse 12, again, we find the position of the deacon. It says, "Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children." We find both of these positions, ruling their children and their own houses well. Can I tell you that God has designed the human body and the human mind and the time that it takes for that body and that mind to reach maturity? And while they are developing into maturity, the Bible says, "It's my will that they be raised in a Christian environment." It is my will that every child be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's my will that every home be established as I would have it to be established. And so we find here that example of the pastor and the example of the deacon. And so God's saying, every church family, follow that example. Every father, follow that example. Every mother, follow that example. Every home, make sure that you establish it the way that God would have it to be established. Parents, all too often, they're either wanting to keep their children from growing up, and so they treat teenagers like children, like little children. Or they allow them to take on adult decisions before they become adults. They allow them to determine how they want to be raised. And they allow them to make the decisions on what they do, where they go, how they behave. Can I tell you the most important thing for teenagers and help for raising teenagers, is what all teens need most of all are biblical parents. They need biblical parents. In that position, again, we look at the qualifications for that position of a pastor. And he says in verse 2, a bishop or a pastor or an elder, it says, they then must be blameless. That's not sinless, but they don't have anything in their lives that would hinder the cause of Christ. That's what that blameless means. It does not mean sinless. It means that when you evaluate that person's life, they don't have anything going on in their life that would hinder the cause of Christ. They would be the example that God wants them to be. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitalities, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Wow. That's how God would have every parent to be. And we go on down, even as we look at the position of a deacon. Verse 7, it says, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are with..." No, it continues with the pastor there. It says, "Moreover, must he have the a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mysteries of the faith in a pure conscience." In verse 11, "Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things." Wow. So we have both here. We have not only the qualification for the pastor, but we have the qualifications for their wives, which are establishing the leadership in the home, establishing the authority in the home. Can I tell you what all teenagers need more than anything else is this idea of biblical parents, those who will love their children enough to do their part in giving their children the best chance to turn out right. It's the parents that understand what life is all about. That teenager, and that especially that early teen, that young teen, thinks that they know what life is all about, but they truly do not know what life is all about. They are still maturing into that place of adulthood, and they need to have an adult in their lives telling them exactly what life is all about. They need a parent that will tell them exactly what is the most important thing, and understanding themselves that the eternal things are more important than the temporary things. And what you think right now is the most important things are really the most temporary things. What you need to focus on as a teenager is understanding this time will pass. These friends that you think that you can't live without, they will one day be gone. But your eternal life is something that you will live with for the rest of the eternity. And as a parent, I understand I need to prepare them for eternal life more so than the temporal life of a teenager. Need to help them to understand that life is more important than what they think is important in life. That the eternal things are what we need to be focused on. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we find this is something that God had instructed the nation of Israel to do as they were to be different from the rest of the world. And they were to raise their children the very same way, with an awareness of God, awareness of what God's will for their life would be. And so we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Teaching diligently your children the importance of God in their lives. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the door, on the post of thy house, and on thy gates." I remember as a young teenager, probably around 13 years of old, the thing that impacted my life more than anything else is when my dad told us all to come together one evening and he said this. He said, "I've not been doing things the way I should have been doing things all along. God's made me aware of that. And from now on, we are going to start having Bible devotions. From this point forward, we're going to start praying together as a family." Now, as a teenager, I was already trying to get involved in things I shouldn't have been involved in, and I didn't take that like I wish I would have taken it, which I know was right today on what he did, but that stuck in my mind. And to see my father admit to us that he had not been doing things right, but because he had a love for God and a love for his family, he was going to start doing what God would have him to do in the home. And I remember that even to today. Can I tell you that one of the first things that you ought to do as a parent, if you have not been living as you ought to have been living as an example in front of your children, if you have not been doing what you should have been doing all along, what God would have you would have had you to do from the very moment that that child came into your life and you started raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, if you have not been doing that as God would have you to do that, stand, get them all together and say, "I have failed. I have not done all that I should have been doing. But from this point forward, we are going to start doing things God's way." They might not like it in the beginning, but I believe as it did for my life, it'll make more of an impact on that child for the rest of their lives than what you could ever imagine. Don't be afraid to tell them you've done wrong. Don't be afraid to confess to them that you should have been doing something differently. the most important thing that you get it right. And start tonight. Start today. As we preached on this morning, what are you doing with the opportunities that God has given you today? God has given you an opportunity to impact and to guide your children's lives. What are we doing with those opportunities? Don't let them pass you by. You will give an account for that. You'll not give an account for how your children turn out. You'll give an account for how you raise them, because that's all that you can control. They have a free will. But if you raise them the way God tells you to raise them, you'll give them the best chance possible to turn out right. What teens need most of all, and what all children need most of all, are biblical parents. Biblical parents. Second of all, teens need to be loved. They might not let you know that they need to be loved. They might not even know that they need to be loved. Teens need to be loved. Jeremiah 31. God knows more than anything else, He created us with a need for His love. It's been said that what will change the direction of any individual is for that individual to know that they're loved. I believe God instilled that within us. God created us with a need to be loved so that we could love. We love Him because He first loved us. But I love what He gave to Jeremiah to present. He says in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 1, "At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of the Israel, and they shall be my people." It's my family. "Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." As teens need to be loved, we can see how God realized He created us to be loved. And it was God was the one who convinces us that He loves us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." He convinced us that He loved us by sending His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's tree because of a love that God had for you and for me. It was not man's responsibility to show God that we loved Him first. God says, "I'm going to prove to you that I love you. I am going to express my love to you. And because I first of all loved you, it'll give you an opportunity then to love me." And parents, can I tell you that what needs to happen today is you need to prove your love to your children. You need to be able to convince them, "I love you." No matter what you do, you will never change my love for you. It will change our fellowship possibly. It will change what I'm able to do for you. But you are my child, and I love you with an everlasting love. No matter how far out into sin that you get, the one thing that ought to stick in your mind is that God still loves you. And the one thing that will bring you back to Him is the knowledge of His love for me. Even when I'm unlovable, God loves me. Does your teenager know that? Well, sure they do. I put a roof over their head. I put food on the table, clothes on their back. They ought to know that I love them. No. Have you told them? Have you sat down with them, cried over some of their mistakes, showed them how much it hurts you more than anything else, the disappointment? The one thing that I hated more than anything else is for mother, or my father to look at me and be disappointed in me. I would much rather him come at me with a belt. What got to me more than anything else is seeing the disappointment. Because I knew that they loved me. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. I took this verse and I would share this with my children every time before I would discipline them. I would let them know the reason I was disciplining them. And it was because I loved them. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Wow. I think we need to possibly give that more attention today. The Bible says if you fail to discipline your children, it's a sign of hatred. Overall. Because you're not concerned about how they're going to turn out. You're more concerned about the temporary smile that they might give you. You're more concerned about the temporary approval they'll give you as being a cool dad and a cool mom for letting them do what they want to do. But the Bible says in the long run, it's going to come back to you as if, for a truth, you didn't really care. It's a lot easier to turn your head the other direction instead of facing something that needs to be faced. When you're in a position of authority, when you're in a position that others look to, and you have to make sure that things are done right, there's always that temptation, I don't want to confront. I don't want to have to deal with this, and so I'm just going to act like I never saw it. Too many parents are turning their face away from the problem and not dealing with it as God would have you to deal with it. And the Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, before it's too late. Start early. If you love them, show your love. It's because I love you that I'm going to ground you. It's because I love you, it's because I'm going to say no. It's because I love you, the easier choice, and I know that the atmosphere of the home might be a little bit better right now if I say, yes, do whatever you want to do, but I love you too much to let you go in a direction that I know is going to bring you heartache and shame. Love you too much for that. Teens need to be loved. There needs to be expectations established in the home. Needs to be expectations established in the home. Go back to our text. I want to see, that's the family. That's what God says. The example of the right kind of home. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4 says this, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Rules and subjection. Did you get that? Rules. You ruleth because you have rules. You're the enforcer. There's a need to have rules established. There's a need to have expectations established in every home. And then once the expectations have been established, the rules have been established, there needs to be subjection to those rules. These expectations are to be based upon what God expects. God expects you to obey me. So obey me. God expects you to obey your mother, so obey her. God expects you to show respect. God expects certain things. And once you have established these rules, and there needs to be rules, there needs to be expectations. Every child needs to know what is expected of that child in that home. And on the flip side, you need to be able to help that child to know what you can expect from us. This is what you can expect from us as your parents. And this is what we expect of you as our children. Rules. Every home needs to be under that rules. One that ruleth well his own house and having his children in subjection. The parents rule the house. The children submit. This is Bible. That's exactly how it should be. Even when they get into their teen years. Possibly more important, the expectations ought to change. You're not dealing with children anymore. You're dealing with those that are transitioning from childhood to adulthood, and you need to make some changes. There must be consequences to failed expectations. Discipline. Loss of advantages. Privileges. That changes as they get older. That idea of physical discipline, that is good until a certain time. And then it does more to provoke than it does to correct. And fathers, you're not supposed to provoke your children. There's a time when the physical discipline needs to change. But there still needs to be consequences to failed expectations. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. It's going to be pretty brief here, so stay with me. We'll get through this. I want to help you with this. It's something that is so important. Before Joshua would lead the children of Israel into the promised land, God says, all right, there's expectations in the promised land. And there'll be consequences if you fail to do what's expected of you to do. I love that. And just briefly, in verse 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. If you're doing it my way, that's what you can expect. Be strong and of a good courage. This is what I want you to do. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. I've established the law, look to obey it, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. As long as you continue to do right and you abide by the rules of the house and you obey your parents and you respect your parents and you abide by these rules, listen to me, I'll do anything and everything I can for you. Praise the Lord for that. But if you fail to do that, you'll not have any of those promises. If you fail to do that, you'll not have any of those blessings. Matter of fact, God said he'd turn them over. And he did. As they failed to do their part, God allowed them to be taken into captivity, and they lost everything that God wanted them to have. Because God could not continue to bless their rebellion. You can't continue to bless your children's rebellion. There's consequences to failed expectations. There has to be consequences to failed expectations. The fifth thing tonight. Use the help that God's given. Can I tell you that God knew what this 21st century would be like? Yeah. I trust you even got that out of this morning's message as well. There have been different opportunities in every generation and every century that we have lived since the first century, since Jesus established the church. And he gave that the parable, the talents. And there has been different opportunities. Not everyone had the same opportunities. There's been different opportunities. But everyone had the same opportunity to do God's will for their lives. Use the help that God's given to you. God's established a New Testament church. Use it. God's establishing the preaching of His Word. Make sure that if you're wanting to live a Christian life, you need it. And if you're wanting to establish a Christian home, your home needs it. Make it a priority, as you've done here tonight. Praise the Lord for that. Put God first. Realize the need that we have to put God first and let your children see it. Lead by example. Lead by example. Not only that, but the opportunity to serve. Use the church. Get them involved in ministry at the earliest age possible. Get them involved. We have so many ministries around here, and I love the Awana ministries on Monday night, because as soon as they graduate from that fifth grade Awana, then they can turn around and start working in it. Family ministry. Keep them involved in serving God. Use the help that God has given to you. God has given to you a church, a pastor, opportunities to serve. Can I tell you this as well, and get a hold of this? A church with higher standards will not hurt you. It's safe for you. A church with lower standards, where is that going to go? They'll appreciate your standards if the church's standards are higher. Concerning the standards of dress, concerning the standards of music, the standards of worldly association, listen to me, you ought to want the church to have even a higher standard than what you are going to have in your own home, because they're going to help you. They'll never hurt you when they have to come and dress more appropriately than even what you might have them dress at home. But if you take them somewhere where there are no restrictions, where is that going to lead? No restrictions in modesty, no restrictions in being a man, no restrictions in being a woman, no restrictions in there being ungodly music, and no restrictions on associations with the world. Listen to me, we need to use the help that God has given to us, and you need to find the church that's going to preach exactly what the Word of God says. Not afraid to preach standards, convictions. Can I tell you that we don't force it down anybody's throat? I'm not going to come to your house and say, oh, no, you got to change that. All we do is say, this is where we believe as a church that God would have us to stand, and we ask you to respect it. Amen. When you bring them to youth, respect it. When you come to activities, respect what the church has established as a standard of dress. That's all. That's it. Now, if you're going to serve, if you're going to be an example, then you're going to adhere to set an example for others. If you're going to be up on this platform, if you're going to sing in this choir, if you're going to be involved in ministry, that's different, because then we are putting you as an example for others to look to. Nobody's forcing you to take that position. It's a position that you have a desire to take. If you have a desire to take it, then there is a need for you to live by the standards that we've set. That's it. And I guarantee you, a church with higher standards will never hurt you. A church with lower standards, they might not be as low as what they will be tomorrow, today. Once they start going down that road, there's no stopping it. There's no stopping the dress. There's no stopping the music and the associations. If given the choice, can I tell you that most teens will choose a more liberal, contemporary, progressive direction? They are. Why? Because they're teens. Now, you'll have the exception, and praise the Lord for the exception now then, but I'm saying most of them, because they're aware of the world, The world, they're aware of how tough it is to live in this world and not give in to the temptations of the world. It's a way easier way of life in a more antichrist society. And can I tell you, that's exactly what the Bible says will take place in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm getting ready to close right here. I've got one more thought to give you. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And boy, is that not true today. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And go on and on. The last thing this evening. Help for raising teens. Number 6. Be involved in your teens' relationships. Be involved because they will be influenced by them. They will be. God is involved in our relationships. God instructs His children concerning their relationships. And without going into all the verses, we know He tells us to have a love. The second most important breakdown of the Ten Commandments, the first is love God. The second is to love your neighbor. Have a love for humanity. Have a desire for them to get saved. The Bible tells us concerning relationships, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. The Bible also says to rebuke. The Bible also says to have no fellowship with some. And then lastly, in Romans chapter 16, Romans in chapter 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. You need to mark certain ones. Don't be mean about it. Don't think your child's any better than that other individual. Sometimes you need to mark your own child. But avoid those relationships. Sometimes a parent, you see things that your child's not going to see. As a parent, God will give you insight to know things that your teen cannot know. God is very much involved in our relationships of life. And as a parent, you need to be very much involved in the relationships that's going to influence your children, especially when they become teenagers. Make sure to be involved in who you allowed your teens to be influenced by. That is just doing what God has told us to do. Bring them up. Bring them up. It shouldn't stop when they become teens. As a parent, you're still instructed, continue to bring them up. Raise them to nurture and admonition of the Lord. Make sure that you are there as an example and you're there as an authority figure to them and you're there instructing them in how they are to live their lives. Don't quit bringing them up just because they're teenagers. Continue doing the job that God has given you to do in raising your children and your teenagers for the Lord. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Some thoughts. I trust that every parent will get a hold of the thoughts concerning raising teens, raising preteens, post-teens, children. Take on the responsibility. Don't give up on it. Don't quit. Don't quit. Your life The lives of your children and future generations are dependent upon you doing what God tells you to do and bringing them up. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray, God, that just going over some of these biblical truths would be a help to our people tonight. And Lord, only you know just how you wanted each one to listen and what you would have them to receive. Those that need to make some changes, whatever it might be, I pray that you'd work in the midst of this invitation. Pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.